Hey guys, before we get into this next episode, I want to share a couple things with you. First, I am happy to announce the new daysinthewild.com is finally launched. Everything is in one place, my guide services, the podcasts, access to my blogs, etc. So go check it out, daysinthewild.com. If you've been following the show lately, you know that we've partnered with Bushnell and Primos. The awesome thing about that is that if you use promo code STL02, you will save 15% on anything they sell. It doesn't have to be the stuff that I use. I've been using the Bushnell trail cameras for years. I did a couple of reviews over the years, and Bushnell always came out on top. They're excellent. And I know you've heard me talk about Primos calls and how good they are, but I've also been using their ground blinds, and they're awesome. I don't know if you know, remember Double Bull blinds, but that's a Primos product now, or has been for a while. I also tried out a set of their shooting sticks, and for standing shots or, you know, using for clients when we're predator hunting, or my kids that need it when we're spot and stalk and have to get in close on javelina or anything like that. It's like a really good tool. I love them. They're quick setup and they're steady. Lastly, do yourself a favor and go check out the lineup of shooting bags, glassing pads, and other accessories that Phoenix Shooting Bags puts out. Go to phoenixshootingbags.com. Use promo code John Stallone, all one word, and save 20%. You'll thank me later, I promise. Go check them out. Hey, don't forget to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps me keep bringing you guys content for free, and it definitely helps out our ratings and reach more people. So thanks again for taking care of that. Appreciate it. Now let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Days in the Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we're going to talk to Brad Weiss, and Brad runs a website called, was it Western Big Game Hunting Applications, right? Or Western Big Game Applications?
Yep.
Western Big Game. Yeah. You know, every year I try to do some tag strategy stuff, talk about different states and whatever. We're about to deal with the Arizona and Wyoming draws, so I got Brad on to talk about that. You know, see if we can't fill in some of these gaps and questions you guys got. What's going on, Brad?
Not much. Just trying to get through the winter and stuff.
Yeah. Usually this is my favorite time of year. And for some reason, I am just not super excited about hunting right now, which is crazy because usually I wait all year long to hunt here in Arizona. This is where I do most of my personal hunting. I don't know if it's just because of the state of the world and I'm just kind of down or what. I experienced for the first time ever. It was actually last month in December. I was on a late season elk hunt with a client. It was the first time I ever woke up in the morning and said to myself, you know, I really don't want to go hunting today. I had to because I had a client, but I really didn't want to go hunting that day. And it happened to me again last week where I was hunting with my buddy down south and hunting for myself now. And I was like, man, I hope this is not because I'm getting older. I just don't want to do it. I don't think that's the case. It's just, I think it's a mental, it's like a, you know, once I was out there, I was fine. I just didn't want to, you know, just wasn't, my heart wasn't in it from the get-go, which was weird because I practically live for it, you know?
Right, exactly.
Just, I don't know. There's just so much going on in the world today right now. It's just like it's hard to be excited or be focused about stuff that's, I guess, in relationship, trivial to what's going on, you know?
Right. A lot. I mean, it's amazing how much everything's changed in one year because we weren't even worried about COVID right now this time last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously affected everything.
Yep. Yep, for sure. So, yeah, it was crazy. I actually got stuck down in Argentina because I was...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Red stag hunting in March, like when the shit hit the fan.
Right, I forgot. I did hear about that.
It was pretty crazy. So, but anyway, let's talk about some. Let's talk about the Arizona deer draw. Oh, well, let me hear a little bit about yourself, and let's let the listeners know how you kind of fit into the puzzle here.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in South Dakota, and kind of grew up hunting around there. When I was younger, we did a bunch of bird hunting and got into deer hunting and into mule deer hunting. We didn't have much for elk over there. That was the basically almost once in a lifetime tags there for residents only. So
yeah,
had to expand from there. So we started kind of going into Colorado and whatnot, and then turned into applying in probably almost every state there is, except for kind of California, Oregon, and Washington State now. So,
yeah.
And now I just I travel for my other job and spend a lot of hotel time and sit at night staring at hunting stuff.
There you go. So, the Arizona deer, or excuse me, Arizona elk draws, or elk and antelope, is coming up here hot. I didn't even look to see what the deadline was. What's the deadline on that?
The deadline's February 9th.
February 9th, yeah.
Yep.
And usually they draw within, I don't know. I feel like it's the same old time, but it's really not.
Yeah.
A couple weeks thereafter.
Yeah, a few weeks after. I think they give you till end of February to update your credit card, so it should be.
Usually by the beginning
of March.
That first week of March, you know if you're going elk hunting in Arizona or not. And,
And you can
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, then you can start looking at other states if you don't draw that, I guess. But
well, now Wyoming changed their stuff up, 2 years ago? And
yeah, I think last year might have been the first year they did it.
It was last year.
Yeah, and they changed it's still due and actually, it's going to be February 1st this year, but usually the end of January. Mm-hmm. I believe the 31st falls on a weekend, so it's February 1st. And then they don't draw until they do all of their draws, like deer and antelopes, during the summer. So,
yeah, which
is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like,
least you can change your application for your Wyoming elk. During the months, depending on if you drew something and wanted to change it to a harder to draw a tag.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. So let's kind of, I'm trying to think how to hit this because I don't want to do the same thing that I've done in the past. I'd like to look at, Let's break down the units maybe into first tier, second tier, or upper tier, mid tier, and lower tier units in sure. Arizona, and then maybe approach it from a point standpoint. You know, if I got X amount of points and I want to go hunting, or if I got X amount of points, what should I be doing? You know, let's hit it from that angle.
Sure.
So what would you consider the upper tier units then?
So what I got kind of listed for your upper tier units are your 23,
of course,
north, yeah. South. I mean, but drawing a tag there is, I mean, you're going to more than likely try to pull the random unless you're a resident.
Right.
I believe that's the only tag available. Otherwise, you have 9 and 10. Those are your normal ones would be. The top 3A, 3C, and probably unit 1.
Mm-hmm.
And you could possibly throw in unit 27 would probably be on the cusp there.
Somewhere between,
Between first and second tier units.
Yeah.
So then down below that for maybe the next tier, I would list unit 8, possibly 7 West, 6A, 3B, and that kind of from there. 3Bs, I guess it should be on there. I think there's possibility, but they have low elk numbers there. But
yeah,
could go in there. Maybe the 5B unit.
I'll just say 5B should probably be in there. 5A.
Yeah.
Even
5A unit. 5B probably in there also. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's kind of I don't want to say forever changing, but it's changing quite a bit. Where, at least in what I've seen in the past, like units that were quite excellent became more of opportunity units, and now are not.
Right, and I mean that all those late season tags they threw in there kind of have changed the game, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. So. Like, especially like unit 22.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean,
they got a ton of tags, but they're, I guess, slowly decreasing the amount. It seems, but
yeah,
not by enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is half of us are always bitching about not being able to go hunting, and they're trying to create opportunity for people. And then we create opportunity, and then we're the other people start bitching about, you know, that they have shitty hunts. So it's a catch 22, but I, from my opinion, I think you leave the people out of it and just let the elk herd tell you how many, you know, do it scientifically.
Right. You
know, screw the social side of it. Because in the end, if you're trying to make people happy, you're always pissing somebody off.
Correct. Yep. Exactly.
You know, and it should be managed to do what's best for the animals. You know, and ultimately that's going to be what's best for us. So.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Totally agree.
So, out of state hunting, you know, what point range are you should be shooting for upper tier?
Upper tier, you're gonna be looking in the over 20 points for any archery or early rifle hunt. Mm-hmm. They're gonna be tough to draw. You do get an extra bonus point if you apply for 5 years or more consecutively and keep it up and have the hunter's ed point. So you'll be starting with 2 if you have that, but you're a long ways to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, though, I mean, because you always have a mathematical chance, obviously, in the random, but...
Correct.
Now, so I'm a guy who's got 15 points, you know, from... I live in Utah, and I want to come hunt Arizona. I got 15 points. Do I waste my time on these upper tier? Or am I literally just because I?
It kind of depends on what you want to do. You could, you're close to like a unit 1 archery if you want an archery hunt. But if you want a rifle or muzzleloader hunt, I think you're kind of. Wasting your time. It depends on how long you want to wait, how old you are.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, with point creep, are you ever really going to get there if you're
You're probably not, because I mean, years ago, I was after the 27 late tag. Mm-hmm. I went down and did the Hunter's Ed, and now I could finally catch it like 5 years later or whatever. And now I decided not to do it.
Yeah, because you got 5 more years invested. You're like, maybe I could do something better, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I've always wanted to do the archery hunt myself. I did a late season hunt with a buddy. Mm-hmm. And we drew a unit 8 tag. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good hunt for sure.
Yeah, I've never been there in the late season. I actually had a client there in September for the archery season. And
okay.
It was a tough rut, really tough rut. They really weren't super fired up. And man, I hadn't been in that unit in a couple of years. There's a shit ton of people up there. It was even more so because there were so many recreationalists up there too because of COVID.
Right. You know, yeah, and that's probably going to be the problem this year too.
Yeah, everybody's just living out in the, you know, in the sticks because they don't want to be in the city.
But, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think point creep's probably going to be up more this year too because people are probably canceling vacations and going to start burning points just to use up vacation time and get out in the woods.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't doubt with that. Also, so the point numbers might be off a little bit. They might even climb a couple points.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, we've noticed that across the board, I notice. So just using deer and javelina, which is unreal to see javelina tags sell out.
Right.
I applied guys for the archery javelina tag, didn't get it, which is nuts. Used to be, not 3 years ago, those tags would go unsubscribed.
Right. And, isn't that crazy?
And when the leftover tags came out, they sold out in the first week. I tried to put my daughter in for a leftover, and I got my money back and, you know, did not have this unit available, whatever. I'm like, what? That's just crazy. I remember I did a TV show with Willie Schmidt, Pure Hunting. And we came up with the idea to do this TV show at the Sportsman's Expo in Utah. So beginning of February, I was still able to get him a tag, you know, basically a week into season, before season, I was still able to get him a tag, a leftover tag to go hunting. Like, that was just 3 years ago. Now, like, they're selling out in the first year, or first week. Right. And
I mean, just kind of, for instance, Idaho last year was their fastest they ever sold out.
Crazy.
Tags.
Crazy.
So, I mean, you're going to have the same problem, I think, across the board this year.
I was waiting online for Idaho online, on virtual line and on, on the computer. I think 2 hours before, because you could actually log in.
Right.
And you could sit there and wait.
There and wait for the clock.
Yeah, that's what I did. I sat there and waited for the clock. And luckily I was able to get a tag, but people were, I mean, it was nuts. Nuts. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this COVID thing, my buddy's a distributor for like fishing stuff, tackle and poles and stuff. And he said that he's already trying to get orders in for summertime.
Yeah, that's nuts.
They're booked that far.
I mean, I guess it's good thing too. I mean,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, oh shit.
it's something.
It's changing the game up. Been, yeah.
Yes. Something the people that have taken advantage of it for years aren't used to.
Well, that had been my strategy forever. Like for here in Arizona, for deer would be I'd always apply for, you know, trophy, quote unquote, trophy hunts. And if I drew it, great. If I didn't, I'd go apply for a leftover tag, you know. And right. If I didn't get a leftover tag, I really didn't care because I knew I could hunt archery over the counter. But now it's like archery over the counter here has become inundated. Like there's so many people out here. It's ridiculous. Yep. I mean, there's still tons of land. You could get away from people, whatever. But it's not the experience that it used to be. I used to be able to go out and be like, I didn't see a truck for 2 days, you know?
Right.
And now it's like, and then we're not talking that far back. We're talking maybe in the last 4 or 5 years max.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten progressively worse. Yeah. And then now the leftover tag, forget about trying to get a leftover tag. It's like,
exactly.
There weren't even, so there's another thing. I applied 11 guys for a unit that normally goes up unsubscribed in the rifle hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And only two people drew.
That's
so there was no leftover tags for that unit. And yeah, just it's just nuts. So yeah, and I imagine that's going to be the same with this elk, this elk draw, is that it's going to be, X amount of more people applying for the same amount of tags, obviously, or maybe hopefully some reduced tags, to be honest with you, because like I said, it looks like they've been kind of killing off
I've been,
some of these areas, and with this crazy drought that we're having over here, I don't know what the elk herd's going to look like.
That's another thing. Everybody should be doing point creep, or point creep, point guard this year. It's
Yeah, I actually point guarded my elk tag. I had an elk tag this year. I point guarded it.
Did you?
Yeah, I drew a late season tag with my wife. I just put it in with her because I wanted to, we wanted to hunt together, and she had enough points to get a rifle tag, and so did I. And I was like, all right, well, let's put it in for it. And then I thought about it. I'm like, it's just gonna be you and me. If we kill two elk, freaking. It's gonna be. I'm gonna be packing out a lot of meat by myself here. Well, not my, actually, my wife is. She's, she's a trooper, and she packs out really well. But it's just a lot of work. I'm like, let's just concentrate on you, and I will. I'm just gonna. I had point guard. She did not. So it's
So what
like.
are you going to do this year if you send it in, or are you going to hold back? I'm in the same boat. I used up my point guards.
Yeah.
So
So I'm going to shoot for the stars, and
that's what I'm thinking.
I'm probably not going to draw. And I honestly, I really don't want to draw. And it's not necessarily because of the state of the herd, 'cause I'm not, listen, if I shoot a 350 bull, I'm going to be just as happy if I shoot a 360 bull, 370 bull, and there's no, I do get excited about inches. I'll be lying to anybody, be lying to you if they don't. But it's not a goal for me. I'm like, if I get an elk tag, I just want to have a good experience, and I want to fill my tag.
No, that's the same for me.
But
I kind of go into it like, I didn't have this elk or deer, whatever I'm hunting at the time, like as long as, or had this elk before I started the hunt, so it's not gonna crush me if I don't get one. As long as I hunt hard and have fun, like I really don't care.
My
Like,
bump. So for me, my main reason is like I have the Idaho tag already, and I have an invite to hunt some private land on in Colorado, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just gonna do that anyway, and just just like I said, shoot for the stars. If I draw it here, great. I did the same thing in Wyoming. I already applied for Wyoming.
did you?
I applied for units that I had, according to Go Hunt, I had zero chance of drawing. But that's one of the few states left that I have a crap ton of points in for elk anyway.
That's
I've already drew out everywhere else.
okay. That's what
So.
I'm, my choice might be my Wyoming elk. I got 13 points there that I can use on a unit I can draw, so.
There you go. There you go. So I took us off on a tangent here, but what, so as an in-state hunter for those upper tier, what kind of a point, give me a range of points that are it's worthwhile you applying.
So again, that depends on what their archery or rifle, but archery points, they're in the teens if they want to hunt those upper units, anywhere from 12 to say 15 probably. And then rifle, they're still in the 20s, maybe 21. 21 points or so. 20 points will get them a unit 27 tag. But
Crazy.
otherwise, I think unit 10 will give them 22 points, will possibly get them a rifle tag.
Yeah, that's nuts.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I mean, it all depends on if your archery. It's not as many points. It's definitely doable,
Right.
11. I guess a unit 27 tag would take, looks like, around 11 points for archery. 20 per rifle, and that's not your low end as far as how many points it'd take, and all the way up to 25 points for a resonant one rifle tag, mm-hmm. and 12 for an archery tag.
What about that? So, what about that next tier, that mid tier unit? Those
mid-tier. So that mid tier, for like possibly unit 8 archery, I got around 13 points for non-resident and 9 for a resident. 6A. Oh, 6A's got a early rifle tag this year also that people should do pretty well in. There's only 30 tags, so we're not sure how many points that would take. It might take 20, though. Mm-hmm. But for the archery tag, there are a ton of tags.
Yeah, I was saying, they get a shit ton of tags.
700 tags. So you're going to run into people, and it still takes 9 points for non-residents and about 8 for residents.
That's crazy. So, that's so close.
Yeah.
Well, you, I, and I know. I think
usually,
I know.
You know, half. Yeah. I mean, so, but you are going to run into people. It's a big unit, but
yeah.
Another one, the next tier, 7 West. Mm-hmm. That still take that archery tag takes 16 non-resident points and 10 resident.
Yeah, that's 7 West is probably my favorite unit out of those.
Is it?
Yeah. For finding big bulls, but yeah. actually being able to hunt them effectively, it's probably not any okay. better. It's not any better than, but there's a lot of local, because it's fairly close to Flagstaff, there's a lot of local traffic in there, and there's...
Right, that's what I kind of figured. It gets a lot of people.
Yeah, and the water holes have a lot of competition for the early archery deer hunts, and I mean, I've had several cameras stolen over there, and it's just one of those. It's one of those units that can be really, really great on a great year, and really difficult on a shitty year. Like, if the rut's not fired, it's kind of a harder unit to hunt, based on like the weather patterns and whatnot. I don't know. I still like it. It's still one of my go-to units. I know it real well too. That's kind of another thing. I used to love 7 East, but 7 East is just a freaking turd now because they've just
right.
killed off everything in that unit.
Right.
So, and unless you want to go hunt up on the Kachina Peaks, it's, you know, slim pickings. For mature, right. for mature bulls, anyway.
Right. We got 3D in there. That's quite a few points also. For archery, it's got 75 tags. They have an early muzzleloader. They have 3 muzzleloader seasons in that unit. Mm-hmm. The first one only has 30 tags, so it's going to take quite a few points. Like over 20 points. It's 7 for non-residents, 17 for residents. For the archery, it's got 15 for a non-resident to draw, and a resident about 10. Hmm.
Oh.
So same for, we got that 5B North. Mm-hmm. For archery, you got 16 non-resident points and 10 resident points for archery, and then they have a rifle season in there. That they didn't have last year, but there's only 24 tags.
24. Okay, so yeah, they got an early season rifle in there, 5B.
Yep.
That's all 5B, or so, that's just 5B North?
No, that's North. Okay. 5B South has a couple hundred tags for archery, and there's take about a dozen non-resident points, and actually 13 and 10 resident points for archery there.
Okay. That's crazy. So 5B used to be my favorite unit. I still like it a lot. It's where I shot my last Arizona bull, but I did it in that late archery hunt. That unit used to be like every 4 or 5 years you'd get a tag in there.
Yeah. That's that's insane. Now it takes double that anymore.
Yeah. Yep. So, now if I just starting out, I'm really have no points, less than 5 points, and I just want an opportunity to get a tag. Where should I be applying?
I would, if dates work for you, I'd be trying for late season stuff. Mm-hmm. You could try Unit 8. I mean, I know they're not the greatest, but there's a ton of tags. You could possibly draw a random tag. There's 500, looks like there's 500 tags in that unit. Mm-hmm. They do take your first and second choice before they move on to the next application.
Right.
So you might as well apply for two choices. Like 6A, there's a ton of tags. There's 700 tags there for the late season. 7 West has 450. And they've decreased those since last year. But 8's got 500. 27's got 400, but 27's one of your better late seasons. So it's going to take some points in the random draws are a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
So same for your 22 North tags. So they have over 400 tags in the late season.
Yeah.
So that's what they got.
They got two late seasons.
Correct. Yep.
They got late bowl and late bowl.
Yep. And there's total together, there's over 800 tags.
Yeah, I think 450 in one and 400 in the next, something like that.
475 and 400.
Okay, so almost 900 tags.
So, yeah. And it'll take about 6 points to draw those if you have the points. Mm-hmm.
So my wife drew, well, I guess it was averaged with mine. So I had 6 points and she had 5. So we both drew on the same application for that 22, the first late rifle.
Right. And that's what hopefully I didn't screw myself a couple of years ago. I told a buddy who was just getting into elk hunting, and I said, well, I'll go if you want to go and I'll boost your points. And that's when we drew that Unit 8 late season with 6.
Yeah.
So hopefully I didn't kneecap myself on that. And I don't need that point guard again.
Yeah.
But we went and he shot. I mean, if it wasn't broken, he would have been a 350 bull.
Yeah. Oh, like I said, I don't think I've been in 8 in the late season ever, so I don't know much on that, but I've been in there a few times and I had that client for early season. There's definitely good bulls in there. I had ran cameras early season. I had some pretty decent, you know, 360 to 370 bulls in there, like just nice,
right.
nice bulls. And
some poor guy shot this one during the archery season, cause we dug out a broadhead.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's crazy.
So.
Crazy, crazy. So, let's explain the draw a little bit, because I think for a lot of people that it's kind of a mystery how it works and how the point system works.
Right.
And the whole five choices and really just the two top choices on these elk hunts really matter, because everything else is
mute at that point, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
So, they do have a bonus point system versus a preference point. So bonus point basically means you're getting more names in the hat.
Right.
Preference point is when you draw the tag, you're using, say you have 20 points, whatever that unit takes 20 points, and that's what you're getting. So, they changed it a few years ago, so now non-residents get no more than 10% of the tags, mm-hmm. and then 5% of those tags of the 10%. So if you have 100 tags in that unit, mm-hmm. 5 of those tags are going for the people with the most points.
Right.
And the other 5 are going to people in the random draw. Right. And that's residents and non-residents all in the same pool.
Okay. Wait, in the same pool. So there's only 5, so, only 5 random?
If you well, have... I mean, that's in the separate, or I mean, in the of the non-resident allocation.
Okay, yes, okay.
So we're all, non-residents are limited to 10%, but they don't have to draw that 10%.
Got it. Yeah. And so to better explain the hat analogy that you gave, so if you got 10 bonus points, you're going to get 10 tickets to throw in the hat. And those Plus this year's ticket, yep. And that, those tickets are randomly drawn numbers. And that gives you a spot on the line.
Right. So they're going to take that, your best ticket, and throw all the other ones out. And they're giving you a random generated number. Mm-hmm. Your highest number is what they take. And it goes down the list until it hits your number.
Exactly. Or your lowest number they give you.
Lowest number.
Yeah. So, you draw 10 tickets and your lowest number is number 4, then pretty much you're going hunting,
Correct.
But if it's your lowest number is 2,000, you could say sayonara, buddy.
Yeah, you can look at some other state.
Exactly. So, that's how it works, which is cool. Because that's why guys with 3 points draw all the time,
Well, and I think they kind of had to do it, and I'm curious how, other states are going to change the game. Mm-hmm. I think they realized, why would a younger person want to buy a $160 license with zero chance?
Yeah.
So they had to change something.
Exactly. No, I mean, nobody... But
it did hurt the guys that have been putting in for tags or points for a long time, for sure.
Yes, I agree. Guys who had 20 points, that hurt them. But eventually those guys are still going to go home. You got 20 points.
Correct.
You're still sitting in the driver's seat. It hurts you a little bit, but you're still sitting in the driver's seat. Crap, I'm putting in for my daughter. She's only 11. I'm putting her in other states for points because I know if she ever wants to go hunt them.
Correct. And that's what I'm doing with mine next year. Mine's going to be 10 this year, but she doesn't fall into that time frame where she can send in this year.
Right. Yeah. So,
And that's another thing for people kids can benefit greatly by people sending in for kids. A non-resident combo tag is $160 that you have to front. That's an unrefundable. And kids are, I believe, $5.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah. So it's $20 just to send in for elk.
Right. And you might as well do it. You might as well start building them points. I mean, obviously, if they don't have an interest in it and they don't want to, then, obviously don't do it. But that's, Ella, my 11-year-old, she likes to hunt. And so I apply her for a couple different states other than here. And,
that's good till they're 17.
Yep. Eventually in the next five years or so, I think I'll actually apply her for some of these hunts. I think Wyoming's definitely one of the ones we'll do.
Correct. Yeah, it's 10 points for kids.
Yeah. So,
or $10. I mean, $10 for a point.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
Yeah. I know what you meant. So let's move on to Wyoming a little bit.
Okay.
Now Wyoming, they, to me, as far as all the states that I draw or that I apply for, they have probably the most convoluted draw process. Their way they do things is, everything's different. Arizona, there's X amount of units, and X amount of units are the same units for every species, for every, you know. Over there, they got different units for deer, antelope, and elk, even though it's the same freaking unit boundaries. It's got a different number. There's type 1, there's type 2, there's type 9. It's, you know, it's different for residents versus non-residents. And okay, so let's decipher the code, if you could.
So, correct. Yeah, Wyoming is a whole different ballgame. They have different numbers for elk and deer and antelope. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have their preference points. It's not a trophy state like Arizona, but doesn't take as many points to draw, but there's still big elk out there for sure. And it's definitely a state you can draw more than not. I mean, you could probably draw every 2 years possibly to go in the general units, and actually shoot just as big a bull as any other unit in the state, really.
Yeah.
They're there. It's just right place, right time. They have different types of tags, let's say. They have type 1, type 2, and type 9. Type 1 and 2 are rifle tags. It might be later dates in the season or boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of differentiates type 1 or 2. Type 9 is usually archery.
So usually on the type 1, correct me if I'm wrong, type 1, if you draw a unit that's a type 1, you can usually hunt there in the archery season with an archery permit, right? Okay.
Yep.
But type 2, no. Type 2 is strictly...
Right.
I believe is strictly the rifle tag itself.
Yep.
Okay. Now... They also have a different, again, correct me, something about your first choice and your second choice, and your first choice eats up points, but your second choice doesn't.
Correct, yeah. You can put in for two choices. I don't really think there's going to be any leftover tags.
I doubt it, yeah.
Especially nowadays. But so your first choice, Wyoming takes everybody's first choice before they move on to the second. But if you put two choices, if you draw your first choice uses your points up. And if some weird case, your second choice gets drawn, it does not use your points,
mm-hmm.
preference points. So you'll go in and get another preference point. And they changed, I want to say last year,
mm-hmm.
Where you used to be able to buy, when you applied, you bought your preference point or click the box that said you want to buy your preference point. Well, that's no longer. You have to buy your preference point during their time frame of when they open that up later on in the year. So usually July or so until end of October, I think it is.
Right, which is annoying.
Yes, it'd be nice to get just do one and done, be done with it. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a really stupid move. Like, why? What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, they probably lost money overall with people forgetting about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I feel like if you're applying for that year, you should get a point for that year, whether you draw or not, but if you don't draw,
correct.
You didn't draw, come back and pay me another $50. It's like, doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So.
And the point fees have gone up a little bit.
Yeah, like 50
last year, or
50
so.
Bucks or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it was 40 or something before, so they haven't gotten them much. $10. The increase was sheep and elk points, or sheep and moose points. So I think they increased $75.
Okay, so you mentioned the general hunt. Let's talk about general hunt versus limited quota.
Okay, general. There's like 50 units in the state that they label as general hunts. For non-residents, it's still going to take 2 to 3 points. We'll talk about their license fees too. So they have two different licenses. They have one they call the regular and one they call the special draw. Mm-hmm. So the regular draw is 60% of the tags. And the special is 40% of the allotted tags. So it's just the season dates are all the same. It's just basically the regular elk tag is $707, and you add another 500 and some for the special. You're basically paying for better drawing odds, hopefully.
Right, but
there are a few units that are not that way, but most units you're knocking off a point or two.
Maybe yeah, once. From what I understand, that so many people just put in for the regular draw, the more expensive one, and it's almost not even worth it anymore because you just got more applicants, even though there's more tags.
Right.
Yeah. Are there statistics that you can find that somebody wanted to do the research to?
Actually, yes. Wyoming's got a good, that's one good thing they do have. You can look up how many points it took for a regular tag, how many points it took for a special tag in each unit. Mm-hmm. And also they have a few tags they put in the random. So you can still, if you don't have any points, there's still a chance there too. You could still draw a tag. So actually, my brother had 4 points, 3 or 4 points a few years ago, mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, and drew a tag that that took 9 points.
Oh, cool.
So they don't take in the fact your preference points in that random draw. Just everybody's in the same hat. Mm-hmm. So the drawing odds aren't good. They're usually under 5% for that random, but there's still a chance. So that's nice too. If you're just starting in the game.
Got it. So essentially there's three pools. Then there's your special, your regular, and then the random.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So back to the general, they have basically on the western side of the state, they have about 50 units they throw in the that category. Versus the limited quota. Mm-hmm. The limited quota are a set amount of tags that you have to draw. And, I mean, like I said, non-residents going to take points for general seasons also. It used to be a leftover tag you could draw on your second choice, but not anymore.
Got it.
The last handful of years, 3-4 years, I think, it started taking points. So I think we're at 2 in the special and 3 in the regular.
Got it.
Which, who knows, it could go up this year too.
So on the general, if you draw a general tag, that means you have multiple units that you can hunt?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. A question, like, this is actually a personal question for that, because I've never actually tried to get a general tag there. When you're actually applying for it, obviously you don't pick a unit. It just says gen.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says gen.
Okay. Yep. All right. That's new for me. I've always gone for the limited quota stuff, in Wyoming specifically. So I haven't drawn a tag. Last time I drew a tag there was 10 years ago. So for elk anyway. I've been there for antelope and deer a bunch of times, but
right.
So, I got quite a few points now built up, and I'll be, I think next year, either next year or the year after, I'll be almost in that, that spot where I can draw the unit that I want to draw. So hopefully it'll still be a good unit. I don't even know if it is anymore, but it was, the unit to be in when I started applying for it.
Of course.
I see that a lot out here. People are like, oh man, I want to, I'm like, yeah, you know what? That unit's just really not as awesome as you think it is.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the one caveat to Arizona is, and I will say this, and Wyoming's probably this way too, is that there's a big bull in every unit. There is a 400 inch bull in every unit here. Guaranteed.
Right.
You know, they're not around every tree, and they're not around every tree in those top tier units either. But, it's right. more about the hunting experience that you're applying for, you know. You draw those unit 23 or one or 27, whatever. The bulls are going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're going to be bugling. You're going to have less people you're running into. The habitat's usually in good condition in those units. And like, it's just, that's your, it's the overall experience. When you're talking strictly from a trophy standpoint, I mean, shit, there's 400 inch bulls running around in 6A all day long, but
yeah,
that's just how hard you want to work to get it, you right. know, and how many people you want to run into while you're doing it.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
Goes back to your experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you want to deal with that or not?
Yeah. So,
And also with Wyoming, it has the wilderness areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you either need a guide or a resident.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. And that resident only has allotted number of people, I believe, that he could take.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't just say, I'm going to take 20 people out.
No. No.
So
I think two.
I think it's right around there. I think it's about two.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just can't go up to a resident and, you take me, he's got to do some paperwork and only allotted a couple people.
Yeah, luckily for me, I have a few friends there that if I draw a tag, hopefully I'll be able to break their chops to go with me. If I need to even hunt wilderness, I don't think I will if I draw the unit that I want to, but
right.
I was looking at some of those units up there up north, but I don't know if I want to deal with grizzlies.
Yeah, that's another thing I was going to say. The grizzlies on the western side are going to be tough to deal with too. My brother, I think on his hunt, he's seen five.
Five? Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and one, he went horseback, and one threw the horse threw him off.
Yeah.
So,
no thanks.
Yeah.
Me and horses already don't get along. I actually haven't hunted off a horse. Well, that's not true. I did it for a lion hunt not too long ago, but prior to that, the last time I was on a horse was in Idaho. It was the last time I hunted Idaho, which was Jesus, like 15 years ago. I got thrown from the horse too.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, because there's a lot of wolves in the area, and one of the horses that we had tied up at the camp got loose. And I was the last in the line, and she came running, a black horse, came running up behind us, and it spooked my horse, and he reared up and threw me off. So,
I'm not a horse guy either. I've done a couple horseback trips, but...
Yeah, I suck on a horse.
I'm like, yeah, I'm not. Billy good. My brother's pretty good.
I'm like Billy Crystal, you know.
That's about how I am.
Guy from...
I don't know what I'm doing.
Guy from Brooklyn on a horse. Rhinestone Cowboy. That's me, but yeah.
But in the middle of the state, there, you know, you got your bighorns in Wyoming that you're not going to have any grizzlies, and
yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I hunted last.
Casper and stuff.
Yeah, I think I had what 35 is what I had, 35 or 36. I always forget, but right there.
Oh, okay, yeah, and the bighorns there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of hunting in region C for deer, So I know that I know those units pretty well.
Gotcha.
And my antelope hunting's been pretty much all there between Gillette and Buffalo and down to Casper, that section.
Okay.
So.
And also the Bighorns has a little bit of wilderness also, but mm-hmm. you can skirt around that if you don't want to deal with a guide or have a resident with you.
Yeah. Well,
That whole unit's a pretty, or whole area is a pretty good elk area.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's crazy. Actually hunting antelope out there, seeing elk out in antelope country.
Right.
You know, out in just sage flats. I was glassing and I'm like, hey, I think I got a deer. I'm like, I see, you know, just the very tips. I'm like, this guy must be freaking gigantic. I'm thinking to myself, right? You know, I wasn't even thinking elk. I didn't even know there was elk there. And then they stood up, the whole herd stood up, and I was like, what the hell? That's elk over there. That's nuts. You know?
Yeah.
And it just laying behind sagebrush, you know, yeah, elk's a big thing. I could literally just see one tip of one tine, you know? And, because every once in a while he'd move its head and I could see it move. And I was like, that's a tine right there. I don't know. Just so big. And like, I don't know. I didn't want to believe that it was a deer, but elk never crossed my mind, you know?
Right. Especially when you're not thinking about it.
Well, I would just imagine that sage is not, you know, enough cover to cover up an elk, you know, And then I was like, well, no wonder why we're not seeing any deer. It's freaking covering up elk. the damn shit's, you know, shoulder high on an elk when he's standing. You can't see a deer walking around that. But, is there anything else that we missed? I know we kind of looked at this all from a, you know, 30,000 foot perspective here, but.
Not really. I think one of their top units they changed in Wyoming, 58 is a unit that they changed up a bit as far as they have a big ranch on there that requires an outfitter.
Okay.
So that's just something to look at if you're looking at unit 58 in Wyoming there. And that's one of their top units, but you do need an outfitter.
Yeah, what is their... let's do the tiers on them too. Let's give me like,
sure. So I got your 50s, you know, 51, 54, 6, 59. Your lower 60 units are your top. Unit 7 and 124 mm-hmm. Would be your top tier units. Where you could. You're probably expecting anywhere from mainly 310 to 350 plus in those units, anywhere in between. Or, you know, you could get a big bull in any of them. You could get a big bull in any unit in the state, essentially. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kind of second tier, the whole Bighorn units in the state there. So the Bighorns, if people don't know, it's kind of in the middle, but towards the top.
Right.
That'll be your 30, 37 through the 45 units. Mm-hmm. And also, there's a few others, 53, 55, 60, 61, 62.
60 is the thorough, what is it called?
Thoroughfare,
yeah. A lot of grizzlies in that area, from what I heard.
Yes. Yep. All like 61, that unit 60. You're gonna have a ton of grizzlies. You're gonna be up around Yellowstone. So just prepare for grizzlies, and there's a ton of wilderness over in those areas.
Yeah.
Also, some other good units around the Casper area. Those would be. 16, 19, mm-hmm. kind of next to 7 there. 7's a big unit, but there's a lot of private land in 7. But people have gone around without hiring an outfitter and done pretty well.
Nice.
100 over there to the west. West Rollins is another good unit. 108. Your 30s, little 30 units are pretty decent too. So,
yeah.
But you should be able to pull over 300 inches out of there for sure.
Awesome.
So,
well, sweet, man. I want to thank you for coming on. Why don't you let everybody know, because I know we probably created a lot more questions than we answered. So where can people find out about you and your tag services?
Sure. So my company name is Western Big Game Application Services. My email's kind of long, but it's westernbiggameapplication.com. Otherwise, you can get a hold of me, 773-294-6202.
All right. Awesome. I'll put your website in the show notes, guys, if anybody's interested in getting in touch with Brad and pulling some tags.
Yeah, even if you want to talk hunting, I could talk all day long about it. So,
awesome. All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, take it easy.
All right, bye. You too.